Common sense, the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, part one, with our old friend Keith Farmer from the LAX 18 News, coverage you can count on. We have some personal issues to discuss early in the show, but then we talk all things Kentucky football with our old friend Keith Farmer. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at KeithFarmer18, and make sure to watch him on the LAX 18 News 5:36 and 11 weeknights. So without further ado, our old friend Keith Farmer.
Live from the Christian Broadcasting Studios, it's the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. With us today, a man making his untriumphant return to the Bottom Line. He is the sports anchor for the LAX 18 Action News. We're going to keep that Action News thing going. He's a man, the last time he was on this show, he gave us a horse to bet on in the Preakness, and that horse did not even run. He's a man who likes marathons and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we're really going to get into that later on. He is our old friend, Keith Farmer. Keith, thank you so much for rejoining us for the second time here on the Bottom Line.
I think I'm only disappointed because I'm not the first repeat performer, right? John Clay's been on twice.
John Clay has been on twice. He's going to be on in a couple more weeks.
Oh, man. I got to keep catching up to him.
Well, you got to send him my worst next time and tell him, shake your fist, give him that message from me. We're ready for him here in a couple of weeks. There's some other people we've got, hopefully, lined up to come in. But thank you, Keith Farmer, for coming in to being our repeat guest, the first repeat guest this year.
Oh, there you go. I'll take that.
John Clay was on in March to do our bracketology spectacular. All right. In which we humiliated him when he said Duke would win the national championship. Well, that's another story for another day. A couple things I want to call you out on, Keith Farmer, before
we
get started.
Here we go.
Last time I saw you, about a month ago?
Yeah, a couple.
Maybe a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
At a Starbucks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At a Starbucks. You came, you sat down right across from me. Hey, good to see you. Hey, Farmer, sit down. Let's talk for a few minutes. Oh, we're just sharing old times and laughs and all that good stuff. All of a sudden, your phone rings.
Uh-huh.
And you show me your phone, and I'm doing this on the radio, but I'm holding a phone right in front of his
imaginary
face.
Phone.
Yes, exactly. And it says, Mike Pratt. Oh, I got to take this. I'll see you later. You walked away just like walking over a dead body. And you're laughing. Your face is turning red because you know I'm right.
Yes.
What was that? How dare you big time me like that? Somebody you've known basically your whole life.
How many baskets did you put up at the University of Kentucky?
That's not the point.
How many rebounds did you pull down at the University of Kentucky?
Like the 60s?
Yeah, of course he did.
Yeah. How old is he?
Older than you and me.
Exactly.
But not much older. So
that's
it's respect for our elders.
Yeah. Respect. And it's not respect for elders. It's respect for who's got more cachet in this town. Nobody knows who. I don't even say my name on this show.
You just did moments ago.
I didn't say my name. I said your name.
You said both. Rewind it. Rewind it.
Why is your face turning red, Farmer? You know I'm right on this one.
I know you're right, but
exactly.
I also,
you big timed me.
You better know that I'm right.
Well, I know that you're right, but you still big timed me. And you just walked out like I was a nobody just so you could talk to Mike Pratt. Talk about people who would hate to be on this show. He would come in here with so many cliches and so much conjecture. He would, and I'd have so many facts and I'd call him out on those cliches, he'd walk out of here in 10 minutes thinking I was a clown.
But he would also have some facts for you as well.
He wouldn't have the same facts we would. We'd call him out on this will to win and the heart of a champion and stuff like that that we just hate on this show. He's fired up like we were talking about before. Yeah, the little story we had before. Yeah, we would call him out on that. He'd walk out of here mad. That's exactly the kind of person that hates this show.
Yeah.
Somebody that doesn't like to look at analytics and things of that nature.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think he'd sit here through the hour. I think he'd be entertained.
Uh-huh. Entertained, huh? Yeah. We'd be the one entertaining him, I'm sure, yeah. And there's one more thing I got to call you out on.
All right.
Twitter a couple of weeks ago, social media, we all had these things going around. Everybody was, we saw the lunchroom cafeteria.
Yeah.
And you got the people, which table do you want to sit at?
Right, right.
And you chose one, and the one you chose, you put the comment on it, I've got to sit next to the hottest girl in class, so I'm choosing this one. Now, I went to high school.
I said prettiest girl in class.
Okay, prettiest girl. Well, same thing for our purposes. I know you, Farmer. I knew you in high school. I knew you in middle school.
Yep.
You never sat next to the hottest girls in class. I know that for a fact.
I'm not going to say it on the air, but I did sit next to one of the prettiest girls in class.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
How much chance did you have with that?
Very
none.
Much. Very much so.
Oh, you
very
did?
Much so.
Where is she at today?
South.
South.
Where, near where you used to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I need to move back soon.
See what you admit.
She's still on the market? No, dude, you knew me in high school. I couldn't get a date from a calendar. I'd take anything I could get.
No.
But so
hey,
anyway,
same here.
You've been married for 20. You told me last time you've been married for 25 years.
Well, I have, but I mean, you were talking about high school. I had no shot in high school. Nobody wanted to be around a 5'8", 110-pound junior.
I think that's lasted into the real world, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm 6 foot now.
You are?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
Overnight.
Oh, overnight. Okay. So let's just bottom line that you never sat next to the hottest girl in class.
No,
well, is she older than us?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
by a year.
When you were a senior, who'd you sit next to? A bunch of clowns talking about college basketball from September
probably
to
the one girlfriend I had in high school. And that's probably who I sat next to.
Okay. I don't even remember who that was. So.
Get your facts straight.
I don't even remember who I sat next to in high school in the lunchroom. God knows. Anyway, let's get that. Thank God that's out of the way. Remember those senior superlatives that we got in high school? Did you get any of those?
None.
Oh, I did.
I was up for one.
You were up
but
for
I didn't
one.
Get it.
I don't think you were. I don't remember that. I did get one.
What was it?
Middle school spirit, of course. What are you talking about? I am one of the few people that got a senior superlative award. So we talk about high school popularity. I just had to throw that in. You want to get bad on me? We'll get bad. We'll start talking about that. All right, Farmer, it's high school football season coming up, and you and your comrades over at Channel 18, the Action News, you got your little high school football show coming up, starting, I would say, in a couple of weeks, so tell us all about that.
LEX 18, High School Sports Zone, actually starts on the 23rd. That's the first night of high school football, and we obviously have usually Friday night, and then there's those early season Saturday games for the first couple of weeks. But Friday night's when we do ours, and Charlie Walter and Eli Gain, part of that. We have a couple of part-time shooters as well that help us out, and we'll be out getting all the highlights around the area. I love it. I love doing that. I mean, I remember when we were in high school seeing some of the big timers in Lexington come down and shoot games, and everything. And so for me, it's just fun to go out to the, it's a good time to get away from the desk and get out and shoot some high school football and usually see some good games.
High school football. I do remember when we would go to games and we'd see the Action News. We'd be like, oh, wow, this must be a big game.
Yeah.
TV stations are here.
Sure. And it's just fun. You know, like I said, you get to go down and see some really good games. Sometimes they're not so good, but, I love seeing all the different kids from all the different areas and the ones that we think are going to go on and play college football somewhere.
Make sure to watch Keith Farmer Friday nights this summer and fall for his high school football show. Top level stuff. Keith Farmer does know his high school football, knows his high school basketball a lot more, but it's football season, Farmer.
Yes.
UK football season.
Yeah.
We are finally here.
Yes.
All you've done all summer is talk about this stuff. Last year, of course, 10-3, the dream season. Was that a sign of things to come in terms of Kentucky football, or was it just an anomaly and something that the stars aligning one time for UK football?
Well, here's the thing. I remember in past years with Kentucky football, you've had big years like that. And usually that vaults the coach to go on somewhere else and or retire, or it just seems like, you know, things would fall apart from that point and then they'd start a rebuild. But with Stoops, I feel like he's got a team now that can reload. So I don't know that there's going to be 10 wins this season. I don't know that there's a New Year's Day bowl game, but I feel like it's a team that's not going to fall back down to Vandy level.
I've never seen a Kentucky coach leave here go to a better job. From Fran Kersey to Jerry Claiborne
to Rich Brooks retired. You know, I just felt like this was a chance for Stoops to go to a next job.
Right.
I mean, he's not retiring anytime soon, but we've seen firings. We've seen guys go to a next job kind of thing. Or, I'm sorry, to a retirement
kind of situation. You don't think Stoops leaves until he's forced to leave, you're saying? Is that what you're saying about Stoops?
What do you mean by forced?
If he loses a couple years in a row.
Yeah, I could see that. But right, I don't think he's that coach.
You don't think he would leave Kentucky for a quote-unquote better job?
I do think he would.
I think
that could happen. That's my worry, and that was my worry after this year, 10-3 New Year's Day bowl game. I'm thinking, all right, somebody's going to come for him. Why they didn't, why it didn't happen, I don't know, but Kentucky fans have to be excited that he's still here, and that's why I believe he's built this program to where guys have learned from Josh Allen and Benny Snell, and now they're ready to go into those positions, and they have the talent, and they are going to work hard, just like those guys did.
But was last year really the dream season? Because let's look at some numbers here, Farmer. Stuff you don't get other places. places.
Okay.
6-7 against the spread. In SEC games, they average getting outgained 18 yards a game. And even Stoops in these bowl seasons will knock out those early years that don't really count. Mm-hmm. Last 3 years they made a bowl, they're 15-21 against the spread.
Yeah.
So it's not like Kentucky has, you know, far exceeded all these expectations.
No.
It's kind of like they've caught the SEC East, especially at the right time.
Well, they've caught the SEC East, and my other concern is, you know, because you always see them, I don't know about rankings with recruiting and everything, but you'll see them being ranked like 20th, the 30th or something, but they're 10th in the SEC.
Jeff Drummond was here a few weeks ago. I don't know if I told you about that, but I told him the exact same thing.
Yeah.
He goes, as long as they're about 30th in the country, you're okay. Yeah, okay, but they're still 12th, 13th in the SEC. Those are the teams you have to play every week.
Yeah.
So maybe you could beat all the Conference USA teams,
right,
but you can't beat the SEC.
And I think that's why SEC media, I guess, I can't tell you exactly why they picked him sixth in the Eastern Division, but...
Oh, I know exactly why. Because Phil Steele called him sixth in the SEC East, because now we live in a world that Phil Steele, whatever he says in the preseason, everybody takes as the gospel. Kind of like back in 20, 25 years ago, the old Blue Ribbon College Basketball yearbook, which I still get to this day for my investing purposes. But to this day, whatever the top 25 is in that book will basically be your AP top 25 when they vote on it, and it's the same thing with Phil Steele.
Yeah, and so I guess my point to the being, they feel like, unless they are just going by Phil Steele, they feel like that the other teams are coming back, like the Floridas and Tennessees are coming back stronger, and they're going to be ready. Whereas, I don't know, maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but I feel like Kentucky is a better team, not than Florida necessarily, but I think they can... I think they can beat Tennessee this year. We'll see. It's in Kroger Field.
Yes.
I think they got a shot at it, so we'll see. And so, you know, Missouri, it's on the road. No, it's back here, isn't it?
It is here.
Yeah, they got a quarterback that's better. I don't know. People seem to think Missouri's going to be that much better than Kentucky this year.
We're going to talk about that quarterback coming up.
And yeah.
Let's just say on this show, we're not a big fan of that quarterback for reasons we'll get into in a minute. But you talked about Florida being down, Tennessee down.
Yeah.
The window of opportunity.
Yeah.
And did it close last year when that Citrus Bowl ended for the SEC East?
No.
I don't think so?
No, I don't think so. I really don't. And again, maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but I think that Coach Stoops has built a program, and I think we've seen him steadily do that as he's gone through his years. And yes, I do think the SEC East was down a little bit last year, but I also think Kentucky took advantage. And you're going to feel that much better when you get the wins and when you see things translating from practice to game day. Sure, they didn't maybe do well against the spread, but what did they do in the win column? That's all you need to look at, and we'll see if they can keep it going this year.
We looked earlier this decade. Missouri came into the league, won the East the first 2 years they were here. Georgia was down. They fired their coach.
Right.
Tennessee, Florida, they've all fired coaches and have been down. Now they're all kind of up on the upswing.
Yeah.
At their best, Kentucky can't compete on a football level with Georgia and Florida and Tennessee. I'm sorry.
You mean you're talking about at long term?
Yes. You talk about all those programs are at their top level.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky, they cannot compete, I don't think, with programs, and we're talking programs, we're not talking about teams, we're talking programs. Like Georgia, Tennessee, and Florida.
No, very true. That's true. I would agree with that, because you look at tradition, and a lot of the kids want to go to a place that's got tradition, and all you got to do is show a little bit of promise, and a kid's probably going to pick that over another school. Another thing Kentucky maybe has going against it, and I said this when they first opened up the new training facility, I said, you know, this is going to help them, and it did. I said, but it's not going to be long until all the other schools see it.
The LSU new facility.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And so now you've already seen that. I've seen Alabama, like, they need to do anything, but they've done some upgrades. You're going to see it at all the places. They're going to start doing these upgrades that make it for the kids and try and bring them in. And then all of a sudden, Kentucky's back to, okay, we don't have that edge there. But I still feel, as long as Stoops is in Lexington, I think they've got a chance to keep improving this program.
It's like buying a new computer. You know, as soon as you take it out of the store, there's another one coming along that's more advanced.
No doubt.
And that's kind of the way these facilities are in the SEC these days.
And then those tradition schools have the money to spend, and all they need is the idea, and then they get it from a school like Kentucky, and all of a sudden, boom, outdo you.
That's a very good point. Now, have you gone to any practices yet?
I have not, but there's only been one that we've been allowed to go to.
Okay.
And that was fan day when everybody else was allowed to go. So we were able to shoot some of that, and I've seen a little bit, but not enough to give you a big judgment on anything specific.
So you have, you know, you have your finger on the pulse of what's going on, you know, the buzz kind of with the media and everything.
Yeah.
We don't. Because, I mean, you do. So is there any kind of buzz that you're hearing about the practices that have gone on so far? We're sitting here middle of August now.
Mm-hmm.
So anything buzz media wise that you've heard about this team so far?
Just the things that everybody's watching for, and that's the defensive backs and that's the wide receivers, because those are the two positions that desperately need to improve. And I'm hearing wide receiver, there's quite a few guys that have the chance, but you know, what are you going to do from practice day to when the lights come on and you're going against somebody else? That's where those guys are going to have to step up, and I don't know for sure. And losing a Devontae Robinson on the defensive backside is tough. You may see a true freshman out there in Devonshire, for instance, who's going to play in defensive back and, you know, has never done anything except step on a college football practice. So we'll have to see how they do when the lights come on.
SEC Media Days a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky was voted sixth.
Yes.
Out of seven.
Mm-hmm.
Our good friend Phil Steele, who was on this show early July. I don't know if you heard that,
okay,
that edition of ours. Obviously, by your expression,
did not.
You did not listen to that show. Thank you for supporting us, Keith Farmer. We appreciate that very much.
I only listen to my shows.
Yes, exactly. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Exhibit number 1,286, why Keith Farmer is all about himself. Our good friend Phil Steele.
Everyone says that.
Exactly. Well, only you in this room. That's all I got to say. Phil Steele doesn't even have Kentucky in his top 60.
Wow.
So we sit here, and I was listening to the lowest rated radio station in Lexington the other day, which also is the 24-hour sports station. Yeah, they have a 0.4 rating. Yeah, I threw it out there, ladies and gentlemen. And there was a call. I was in my car, so I was trapped, so I had to listen to it. And a caller calls in and says, yeah, Las Vegas expects us,
mm-hmm,
to win 8 or 9 games this year. But what happens if we win 6 or 7 games? Is Mark Stoops in trouble? Do you think the expectations of Big Blue Nation have gotten a little bit out of hand? Because I could point out about 4 things in that sentence that are totally delusional, Keith Farmer.
I mean, yeah, you give them a little bit of success and they just want more and more and more. And they want it to be up there with the basketball program. And so I can understand a little bit of that. But no, you have to have realistic expectations when you're, especially in the SEC and when you're in the East.
Yeah, and as soon as you refer to a team as we or us, I am automatically checked out.
Tune out.
Because you're obviously biased. Even though you've never put on the jersey, you've never run out of the tunnel, you know, with the band playing.
Yeah,
yeah, us and we. No, it's not. It's them. I'm sorry.
It is.
Them. So you think the expectations, Big Blue Nation, let's say Kentucky goes 7-5.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they go 6-6.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to be the buzz then?
I mean, I don't know. I'd say disappointment, but, you know, because they do expect maybe not 10, but maybe 8 or 9. But I don't think there'd be a Fire Stoops kind of thing. I mean, that's a ridiculous question that was asked on that phone call. I mean, there was no reason to think that Stoops would be going anywhere. I mean, there's so much surrounding a season too, you know. I mean, they stayed healthy last year for the most part. I can't remember. I mean, early in the season, they lost one of their offensive linemen, Landon Young. But I mean, they stayed healthy. Can this team stay healthy? Can they play and reload, like I said? Can they handle the success? Or let's say, for instance, they start with maybe a not so great record. Can they push through that and get some of the wins that I think they can get later in the season?
You talked about last year.
Yeah.
And we're having the debate, is that a sign of things to come or was it an outlier? So I look at the defense carried them last year. Let's just face it.
Oh, sure.
They allowed 16.8 points a game, 6th in America. Georgia was the only team to score more than 24 points against them. I'm reading this now because I had to write all this down. But in all of the 6 previous seasons that Stoops has been in Kentucky, the least number of points they allowed per game was 27.4. So is this really a sign of things to come, especially on the defensive end and especially when you lost the best player in the history of the school and several other players that went to the NFL to play defense? Is this really a sign of things to come? Because the last little scrimmage they had, Stoops comes out and says, man, I'm really upset with the defense. Well, of course you're upset with the defense. You lost a bunch of NFL players.
I think as long as one thing Kentucky has going for it is it's had consistency in the coaching staff. And I think that's a good thing when you're talking about a program that's trying to build, a program that's trying to sustain. And so I've been impressed with what they, you know, again, the recruiting rankings and stars and all this. They haven't had that many 5 stars, 4 stars, and yet they're developing some talent that has gone on to the NFL. So that's what gives me comfort in watching them and believing that they can get things to a steady level, like you're talking about. Maybe it's not going to best 10-3 this year, but I believe that they're a great coaching staff and that they can get these guys ready for the Saturdays.
We talked with Drummond. How do they get these stars? Who gives them these stars? He literally told us that like 15 years ago, it was just some dude in a basement.
I mean, Drummond should know better than anybody.
That's what I'm saying. Because
he handles all those stars all the time.
I tried to get him to liven himself up on this show, and he's like, I think it's just some guy in a basement. You should give them to him. I'm like, well, that's not really helping your cause very much there, Drummond. But yeah, the whole recruiting thing. Don't get me started.
I just don't see how you can think about how many thousands of kids there are out there.
I mean, how did we do this before? It's like before YouTube and the videos. How did we do this 20 years ago?
I have no idea. I mean, I really don't. Basketball, I can kind of understand a little better. There's still thousands of athletes, but you can see some rise to the top. Football, I mean, I can understand 5 stars, and after that, how do you pick a 4 to a 2? I don't know.
That's why Drummond's kind of gotten out of the recruiting game and now is on the UK football beat little bit more. I think he told us he just got tired of having to deal with all these kids and the stars and all, you know, calling 300 kids a day or whatever.
Yeah, and I'm like, are you cutting down to 10? You cutting down to 5? You cutting down to 3? Are you picking next week? Yeah, I mean, it's...
God bless him for doing that as long as he did. I couldn't do that in a million years. I'd just as soon go to Clay's Ferry and take a jump.
I mean, especially in football, you can't even decide, like, kid picks a certain school and then they back out and open up again and pick another, and who knows till they get on campus. It's tough to say, you know.
Speaking of kids on campus, Terry Wilson,
mm-hmm.
13th out of 14th last year in quarterback rating. He threw for more than 163 yards 3 times in 12 games. And now, defense is gone. Josh Allen's gone. Big time running back Benny Snell's gone. Got to look at Terry Wilson now. He's a returning quarterback, but the numbers say he can't produce and can't provide to the level that's needed for a team that's not going to have as good a defense or not going to have as good a running game. Can the Big Blue Nation and people like Keith Farmer count on Terry Wilson to carry this team this year when the numbers say he's never proven that he could?
How many wins did he have last year?
Yeah, see, but why did they win those games? Now you're getting into the cliches. He's got the heart of a champion, the will to win. Now if you start with those cliches, Farmer, the numbers say he was the second, the worst quarterback in the SEC last year.
I got you. You know, again, I think if the wide receiver position comes through, I'm fine with the running back position at Kentucky. I think, I told you this last time I was here, I think it could be as good as Benny Snell with 3 guys that are going to carry the load.
Now, we ran that past Phil Steele on our show. You can go back and listen to it, Farmer.
I know
you take time out of your day to actually help us out and download our show. But yeah, you can go back and listen to it. And we said, Keith Farmer, our friend Keith Farmer, said the running backs are going to be fine. And Phil Steele kind of sounded like, yeah, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. But you actually get this word from the coaches that actually are close to the program, so you know what you're talking about.
I'm going by what I see. I'm not spring football. I saw him in spring. I've seen him in games last year. And so, I mean, I'm not saying Phil Steele's wrong, but I'm saying
I can say Phil Steele's wrong quite a bit. That's neither here nor there.
What I see is that they've got an A.J. Rose that has a lot of speed and a lot of cut. They've got a Kavassier Smoke that's small and can squirt through some of these holes that they make. They've got a Chris Rodriguez that'll bowl you over. That's everything Benny did last year and all in one. So now you've got 6 fresh legs that are ready to run in different various styles. And I think Kavassier Smoke can catch the ball out of the backfield, which is something Benny didn't do all that much. I think A.J. Rose can also do that, and I think that gets Eddie Grant excited because he can do so much more with the offense. And getting back to Terry, I believe that helps Terry out. I think you should see an improvement. I really do. I think you should see an improvement. I think that Eddie Grant and Darren Henshaw, the quarterback's coach, are seeing improvement, and they're excited about what they're seeing from Terry. So that's what leads me to believe that they're happy with what they're seeing, that he can manage a game, whether that, you know, means 120 yards or that means 300 yards. I don't know that he can get to that plateau.
But see, now you're using that terminology again.
Of
game manager. manage a game.
I'm okay with a quarterback that can do that. I really am. But you have to have the other guys that can do it. You know, you can't just have even just the running backs, even though I'm high on them. You've got to have the wide receivers that can also catch the balls that Terry's throwing. Otherwise, how's he going to manage a game when all he's doing is handing off or running for his life himself?
But the quarterback in college football is so important. Odds makers out in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
When they make lines for individual games, the biggest things they look at, coach, quarterback. And the others don't really matter. I go back to, I think it was 2014, Todd Gurley last year at Georgia. First half of the season, he was a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah.
Literally, he was going to win the Heisman.
Right.
Then he got into trouble with signatures or whatever. That Monday, Georgia was going to be a 3-point favorite at Missouri. Todd Gurley, all that news came out, they took the game off the board. Then it came out, Todd Gurley is going to be out for this game. They put the game back up on Friday. Georgia's still a 3-point favorite. This is the Heisman Trophy winner gone.
Wow.
And the line did not change. Now, did they know Nick Chubb and Sony Michelle were backing him up? Probably so. What matters is running backs don't really matter a whole lot in the eyes of our friends out in the desert. It's that coach and that quarterback more than anybody.
So the quarterback's the one that they're all about.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm at a loss because all I can tell you is what I've seen, what I'm hearing, and until they play a game, we'll have to see how the offense looks. I believe that Terry Wilson, though, he came in and grabbed the starting quarterback job as soon as he stepped on campus. He was a kid that was wanting to go to Oregon, I guess did go to Oregon. That tells you what kind of a quarterback he is and run and throw and how confident they were in bringing him on campus. I think that this is the kind of kid that's going to get better each year.
And if some of those games when he played lousy last year, if they didn't replace him in some of those games, they're not going to replace him. So it's basically live or die with Terry Wilson. Although they brought in this kid, Sawyer Smith, and they're pumping him up.
I don't know a whole lot. I just know that he was at Troy. I know that he was a good dual threat quarterback there as well. He threw a lot of yards. He was under Neil Brown, who used to be at Kentucky as the offensive coordinator. So he's got some familiarity, I guess, with their offense. But he can't help them this year, so doesn't matter.
You talk about regrets in Kentucky quarterback. You know the new Miami quarterback just announced?
Jaren Williams.
Jaren Williams, a freshman who was committed at one time to the University of Kentucky.
Yes.
So what does that look like to Kentucky still choosing Terry Wilson over a guy who just went to the University of Miami and is now the starter in his freshman year?
Well, Jaren Williams never came here. I mean,
but he was committed.
He was committed, and then he backed out, and then he decided to go to Miami. So, I mean, that's, again, one of those things I was talking about where until a kid steps on campus, you can't really count on having or signs his name. So I give Kentucky credit because they picked him out. They had him committed at one point, just couldn't hold on to him.
Week one, Toledo.
Yeah.
Oh, the MAC conference. Oh. Two MAC conference. What do you mean?
Don't they have two MAC conference opponents?
Oh, we're talking about week one.
I know, we're going to week one.
Quit confusing me. This is my show. I'm organizing this thing. You call the shots over at 18 Actionless News. Let me call the shots here. Week one, Toledo. Last year, Kentucky and Toledo had one common opponent, Central Michigan. I had to write this down. Kentucky played in the first game of the season. They won by 15 points and outgained them by 172 yards, but touchdown/touchback Terry Wilson had 78 yards passing and two interceptions. Toledo played Central Michigan. They won by 38, outgained them by 292 yards, and did it all with a backup quarterback. So now the line comes out for this game, 13.5. It's already come down to 12. Phil Steele came on our show in early July and said, if you want Toledo, get on them now. This line will be 10 by the time that game kicks off. And he told us this game should be a 7-point line, no more, no less. Why am I supposed to think that Kentucky is supposed to blow Toledo out of the water when I look at actual data and stuff like this, Farmer?
Because they are not going to blow them out of the water, but they're going to beat them. It's the first game of the season. And
that's all you got. They're going to beat them. It's the first game of the season. That's all you got, Farmer.
No, that's not all I got. You interrupted me.
I'm known to do that. Go ahead.
I truly believe that Kentucky, this is one of those games they are supposed to take care of. And we're going to, I'm going to say it's not going to be a blowout because Kentucky's still trying to figure out their positions. And the key position is wide receiver and defensive back. And that's why this is going to be a close game. And yes, I believe Toledo is a good team. How many do they have back from last season? Do we
know
that?
I don't know how they have back, but I know Phil Steele and the MAC Media Day is always a must watch for your cable football lovers. They all say Toledo. Toledo is going to win their division in the MAC for whatever that's worth.
Yeah. I mean, the MAC's always, I believe the MAC's always been a good conference. Now, you know, Joker Phillips was always trying to compete against the MAC conference for talent. But no. But I believe the MAC's always been a pretty good conference. I really do. And I think they've always had top teams. And anytime you're talking about a team that is picked to win its division in the MAC, I think that's a dangerous team to anybody. I think they always play, you'd have to tell me if you've looked this up on you know, your stats, but how they've done in bowl games. I believe they've done usually pretty well in bowl games. It's always a team that's dangerous.
One stat we do know, Stoops is a home favorite the last 2 years, 0-9 against the spread. So when you sit there and say Kentucky's a big favorite, I'm looking to take the other side.
Oh, no, I didn't say they were a big favorite. I didn't say that. I said it was going to be a close game.
Okay.
I think it will be a close game.
So I sit here and I'm bottom line at Forrest Farmer. Kentucky, 12-point favorite over Toledo. You're taking Toledo in the points.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I'm surprised you said that.
Unless it goes below 10.
Oh. Phil Steele said 7. So why we should just, however you can get it. I've been preaching on this show, hey, get on this line now because, hey, if this goes down, which it looks like it's progressively down, we still got 2 weeks before. There's going to be more money come in. If you want Toledo, get on it now. But, of course, Big Blue Nation, they're going to take Kentucky no matter what the line is, no matter who they're playing. They're going to
expecting 21 points, yeah, I'm exactly. sure. No, I think it's going to be a 10-point game.
10-point game.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Keith Farmer says Kentucky by 10 over Toledo. Get your point spread bets in now. When you were on this show back in May, you said Kentucky would win 8 games this year.
Yeah.
And that's before we weren't really into football then. That was 3-4 months ago, whatever it was.
Yeah.
The line out in Las Vegas says 6.5 for Kentucky wins on the season.
Right.
Everybody I've had on this show, Jeff Drummond, Phil Steele, Dan Reefer, the list of characters goes on. I'm sure John Clay will say the same thing in a few weeks. If we could ever get his compadre Mark Story on this show, he would say Kentucky would win 14 out of 12 regular season games. So how many games do you think Kentucky will win this season as we slide the schedule over to you so you can look at the teams they're playing, Farmer?
I'm still going 8.
You're going 8.
Yeah, possibility of 9. But
possibility of 9.
I'm going 8. I'm staying with it.
I'm going to tell you something right now, Farmer.
Yeah?
Look down to Vanderbilt, game 10, November 16th. They're going to have a losing record going into that game. They're either going to be 4-5 or 3-6 going into that game. This is a team.
So then I'm saying they've got 6 wins at that point.
Apparently so. I see 2 wins the last 2 games, and that Vandy game, kind of a toss-up, because it's going to be on the road. And you make that face at me, Farmer. I don't care what you say. This team is not going to win 8 games. That schedule is too tough. They're going to win these first 2 cupcake games, and then you have Florida, South Carolina.
Mississippi State.
That's 0-3 right there. You're not going to win any of those 3 games. You can give me that South Carolina winning streak all you want. You're going to be 2-3 coming out of those 3 games.
So you talk about swing games, right? Through the year, that's the ones to watch. I think you're looking at South Carolina, Missouri. I think those are 2 big swing games, and possibly the Tennessee game as well.
That 3-game stretch right towards the end after the Arkansas game.
That could make or break a difference in a season.
Where they play Missouri, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
They could go 3-0 those games. I wouldn't be shocked. They go 0-3 in those games. I wouldn't be shocked.
Right, exactly. And that's the way I'm looking at it as well. And I mean, a lot of people think they've got a great shot down at Mississippi State. Some people are saying Florida because they beat them last year. That's a game I'm chalking up as maybe a loss because a Florida team's going to come in fired up. You heard the Gainesville Sun guy, right, that said he thought Florida was overrated this year?
No, I didn't hear that.
So, I mean, you know, that's kind of interesting. This is a guy that supposedly is around the program a lot, knows him, and he's telling...
I think they still have quarterback issues at Florida, too, yes.
Yeah, I could see that as well, yes. And, you know, it is here, but maybe you could call that a swing game as well that I'm looking at that could change the difference in the way UK plays this season.
So you're saying 8 with a possibility of 9?
I am.
You are?
Yeah.
That's Keith Farmer, ladies and gentlemen. Here's a prop for you.
Okay.
Kentucky is -3.5 wins against Louisville this year. So in other words, it's kind of like a point spread. Kentucky is favored by 3.5. And let's say Kentucky wins 8. Mm-hmm. That means Louisville would have to win 5 to cover. If they win 4, they don't cover.
Ooh.
So the line out in an offshore, in a distant place... Has Kentucky -3.5 more wins than Louisville? Over or under on that one?
Louisville just announced that it's going to have open tryouts for its football team. The coach says many of my players at Appalachian State could have played here. I think Kentucky gets it.
Is that motivational tactics or is that just truly desperation?
I think it's both. I think really do. I think he said that partially to fire his guys up.
I think
he partially was thinking, yeah, some of my guys.
I think we had middle school basketball coaches that told us the exact same thing when we were lousy.
We're going to have open tryouts during intramural season. Yes, exactly.
Yes, yes. I think that this is a really, really big rebuilding project at Louisville. So I think Kentucky has – I think they're going to get the more wins.
I think so.
Yeah. Even if it's just six, I think Kentucky has more.
Well, they do have Eastern and Western on their schedule. Louisville does.
Yeah.
So they have their own cupcakes. But you talk – they were the worst team in America against the spread last year. They were 1-11.
So you're saying they can beat Eastern and Western?
Oh, yeah. What are you talking about? Of course. No, if you made me choose, I would take Louisville and the 3.5 wins in that one to like cover it. But I mean, it's not going to – they'll win 4, but I just don't think Kentucky's going to win 8 like you and all the rest of Big Blue Nation.
Oh, see?
That's neither here nor there.
I like everybody else. Oh, like Big Blue Nation.
Like you.
Not the other experts.
Well, I wouldn't call you an expert to save my life, but that's using that term very loosely on this show. An expert, using the air quotes. But no, I don't
– Trust me, I'm using the air quotes.
This is a 6-6 team, Kentucky, for my money. They're a 6-6 team, and you know, you're sitting there laughing at me all you want.
No, I'm not laughing.
I just look at numbers.
Yeah.
Because one of the worst things you could do is trying to forecast these games and forecast seasons. You get emotional because you just look at it, you know, at the header, put Team A, and then put their resume underneath. All these players lost. Mm-hmm. Quarterback that's not really that good. And then the schedule they have to play. If you don't let me see Kentucky at the top, I say, well, this is a team that they're not going to win 8 games. Yank the pillar away, and all of a sudden it says Kentucky, and everybody goes crazy. I changed my mind. They're going to go over now. Well, no, you said before that they were going to be under when you looked at the resume. Oh, but it's Kentucky, so I'm going over.
Yes.
That's just flawed logic. That's how you make mistakes in this business.
Sure.
I'm trying to teach you some things along the way.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I do.
I really do.
In one ear, out the other. I know you pay no attention to me, but that's neither here nor there. SEC.
Yes.
Bama and Georgia.
Yeah.
Georgia make the playoff.
Yeah.
You think Georgia's in?
Oh, in the NCAA playoff?
Bama and Georgia for the SEC championship?
Correct.
Who do you think wins that?
Probably Bama.
You think Bama?
Probably, yeah.
National championship? Bama, Clemson?
Probably again.
If I gave you Bama and Clemson and you gave me everybody else, how would you feel?
Pretty good.
I would feel good, too.
Yeah.
I would take the Bama, Clemson end of that,
too. Yeah, I really would. And that's, you know, it's kind of sad because we all wanted that playoff kind of thing, you know, and now we're getting the same two teams every year. Some 3-4 teams.
If I had one lock for season win totals this year, I have two.
Kentucky
under. Georgia, you could find them 11 a lot of places. They're going to lose a couple games this year.
Mm.
They play the Eastern teams and the West. They play Auburn and A&M.
Yeah.
They've got a tough schedule, and I know a lot of people are pimping them to be national champions. You know, they're dark horse national champion, make the playoff. They're going to lose a couple games this year. So there you go.
I haven't looked at their schedule totally to know, but yeah.
Well,
I will take your word on that.
Some of us have nothing else better to do all day but to sit around and just look this stuff up. So yeah, there's your 10,000 super galactic millennial star of the millennium pick. There you go. Georgia under, Kentucky under. That's neither here nor there. Total losses, Bama and Clemson, 1.5 over under. Regular season.
Over, but it probably won't be by much.
You think over? You think they'll both lose a game?
Like both lose a game, maybe?
Yeah. That prop was out in Las Vegas. They made it -110. It's already -160 on the under. So everybody's thinking Bama and Clemson's going to run the table, basically.
Wow.
Because Clemson, you look at their schedule, they're a double-digit favorite every game they play this year. So they don't play anybody.
I'd have to think long and hard before I place that one.
So you would take Bama and Clemson for the national championship over everybody else.
I would, yeah.
So let's bottom line the football season here, Keith Farmer. Kentucky, you have 8 wins.
Yes.
So obviously over the 6.5 out in the desert.
Yes.
Terry Wilson, not really a believer, but you're hopeful, basically, is the gist I've got for him.
No, I'm a believer, but it's going to require guys to step up around him.
Big Blue Nation should temper their expectations if they only win 6 or 7 games this year.
Yes, definitely, for sure. Because, I still see the program on the rise, and so it depends where those losses come from.
Yeah, we'll disagree. We'll agree to disagree on that one, but we have a bucket of pride on things. That's all right, Farmer. It's okay. That's the thing that bothers me about sports talk in this market.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's got to agree. It's okay to have disagreement. It's okay to believe that Kentucky might lose a game. It's okay.
Yeah.
But if you come out and say it on a radio or something, oh, get him off. We don't want to listen to him anymore.
Yeah.
That's my rant. That'll never make this show. And Bama or Clemson national champion?
Clemson.
Clemson for the national champion. Bucket of pride. We'll take the tide. Bucket of pride. We'll take roll
tide. You just don't want to agree with me on anything.
That's absolutely
right.
That's
what it comes down to.
When I agree with Farmer, bad things are going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. So there you go. College football from the great Keith Farmer.
And that does it for part one of our podcast with Keith Farmer from the LAX 18 News. Again, make sure to follow him on Twitter at KeithFarmer18. And make sure to catch him weeknights on the LAX 18 News at 5:36 at 11. Coming soon, part two of our show with Keith Farmer, when we talk all things not Kentucky football. And as always, you can follow us on Twitter at BottomLineLex. So until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours.
Listen, good luck. Cash and tickets is what it's all about. So long, everybody.